order the Madison Plains Board of Education regular meeting today, Tuesday, August 19th. Can I have a roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Dats?
Here.
Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Present.
And Mr. Detweiler is present.
Okay. Tim, would you lead us in the pledge?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll move on to public communication. Is anybody, would anybody like to speak this evening? Okay, we will move on to board work session.
Madam President, I move that the board approve the employment contract of Jill Matthews, interim treasurer, as presented.
I'll second that.
Any discussion?
I'd like to make an edit to that. It's Jill Smith.
Where did I, oh, I saw it down the bottom.
It is.
You're right, you said it correctly. That's an edit.
I've been called worse, it's okay.
Right, Jill.
Oh, you Jill.
Jill, there we go. Okay. Any more discussion? Okay, can you call roll, please?
I'm sorry, who did the second on that?
I did.
Oh, okay, sorry. Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dats?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, we'll move to section C, approval. Oh, is there any more board work session? Sorry.
Yeah.
I apologize.
I'd like to see, you know, we had to reschedule the retreat, or at least cancel the retreat that we had set for the beginning of the month.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything more about rescheduling that. Is there, you know, I know one of the things that I saw was late fall, but I think that's a little late to be doing it. If we can get something set up for September, I think would be.
I think that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, I think we're talking. That's what I meant by. I just didn't want to have to rush that before school started, so because they have so many things on their agenda. So that's, and then scheduling. So September, we can send out some. Can I get with you for some dates?
That'd be fine.
And then we can send that out.
Okay.
Okay.
It's twofold. It's much appreciated because we do have other things we're trying to get done right now, and I want to be able to focus and put the right attention to it, so we have a good retreat. So.
Yeah. And we want to have everybody in place before we move forward, so we'll have our. By then, our treasurer will kind of be fully staffed and ready to go. That was the thinking behind it.
Okay.
I had thought maybe even a Saturday morning instead of the evening, but I don't know what anyone's schedules are like. Throw out a couple different ones. Okay. Anything?
Madam President, I got one other thing. I called Tim the other day. Discuss this with him, and I told him I was going to bring it up to you guys. I would like us to see in the future to make it the policy that anytime we hire a coach, we do it like we did when we hired Jason Hunt, and we make sure that we have a panel of people get together to review it on any coach that we have. If there's more than one person applies, mm-hmm. That way that no one can ever say that we're playing, you know, any favoritism or anything like that. I think that's just the best way to do it. So I'd like to see that.
What's our policy? What's our, isn't that an athletic policy?
We have a hiring process that we've created for the administrative team that we utilize in hiring all of our other staff. We can apply that to that, but I think there needs to be some modifications to it. What I would ask is that we have Matt as part of his improvement process for the athletic department to incorporate that as part of that, so when we bring that to you, it mm-hmm. has everything from hiring to training, all those things will be involved with that improvement plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Anything else? Okay. We'll move on to approval of board minutes.
Madam President, I move that the minutes of the July 15th and July 24th meetings be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion?
The July 2nd meeting minutes will be presented at the September meeting.
So okay.
That was, if you recall, a very short meeting. Mm-hmm. So, but we will present that at the next meeting.
Okay.
Was it second by Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Or Mr. Morlock?
Mr. Morlock.
I'm sorry. I can't see who says what. Okay.
Discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts? Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, we will move to the financial section, treasurer's report.
Well, if Jill doesn't mind, I'll address this for her.
Sure, thank you.
One thing I'm going to bring to your attention, we are presenting June and July's financial statements. You have all of those. As of June, we were looking at a balance general fund of $6.1 million. We had forecasted at $6.5 million. The variance is basically on the real estate taxes and the advances that we got in June. We're off by about $250,000. We can't control the advances. We're not sure what we're going to get because it's based on collections early in the year by the county auditor. So you base it on your prior years, and so it was a little less this year. Okay. So that's the primary reason why we didn't hit our target. But again, we're still on target with, like I said, $6.1 million. At June, we had 147 days of available operating money. Our goal was 185, so we're a little bit off of that. But again, we're in a very good financial situation. When you play it out into the forecast, we're still on target. We have some things happening with staffing that you'll see here in the next few months that we'll present and talk about as far as reductions in cost versus what we had forecast. Again, that has to do with a lot of our new staff that we brought in versus senior staff that left. You've got an ag position at the high school that we did not fill. So those kind of things add up. And so we'll be presenting that as part of the five-year forecast presentation. Okay. That, I think that's all Jill has to say.
I think that's good.
That's some of that.
Sounds good. I will agree with him, though, on the advances. We have that all the time. We get our advances, and we run into that. You go off history, and you just never know what you're going to end up getting. So.
Okay. Got a motion.
Okay. Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the Treasurer that the June 2014 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion? Have a roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of Treasurer, the July 2014 financial statements be accepted as presented.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
You notice you have fewer reports for July. It's because in July we don't have the spending plan set up for the rest of the year. That's normally presented at the September meeting. You have at that point you'll have July and August's activity already in the spending plan. That's just a matter of time and getting the year closed out and things like that. So that's why you don't see all the graphs and things at this point for August, but for July.
We see that in August, or we see that in?
You'll see in September.
September. Okay. Discussion? Can you call a roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Well, I think we need a motion first.
Okay.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, we'll move on to Section F, Superintendent's Report.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
We had quite a bit of discussion a couple meetings ago about board policy IGDK, which has to do with eligibility. We had basically, there's three policies that we're looking at. One was the old policy from 2007. If you recall, that policy had, it allowed for discretion in the principal's administration of declaring a student ineligible or not. It basically said they may be ineligible. As of October 2013, the current policy that I listed out there for you took that away. So our discussion about wanting to have that discretion was already taken away by the board in October 2013. If you look at that policy, it doesn't say anything about discretion. It says, here's your bar, you're eligible if you're above that, if not, you're ineligible. So that's a moot point at this point. The new proposed policy that the board tabled last time was a proposal to change that from 2.0 to 1.8, I believe, with no Fs. The board had some heartburn with that after further discussion. The 2.0 current policy is kind of where we ended up. If that's where you're at right now, then what you're going to see basically later on is a recommendation for that 1.8 policy change, and we need to vote no on that because you want to keep it at the current policy of 2.0. But it was tabled, so you have to vote on that tonight.
Yep.
Okay, so if we turn that one down and just keep it the way it is right now, and I hope everybody's read that because there's some pretty strict things in there that we need to abide by, and some things that help, you know, with the kid doing courses with college and things like that. I think we just need to leave it where it's at with the existing, not the one that they were the first one, but the current eligibility policy. That would be just 2.0.
Right.
And Mr. Engel will talk here in a moment about some things he's got in mind for making. As we talked this afternoon, let's be proactive on keeping kids eligible instead of reactive to being ineligible. I think that's where our focus needs to be, and that's kind of the direction he's going. I think you'll be pleased when you see some of the things he talks about. So, again, when we get to that eligibility policy, we need to vote no on that.
Let me ask this question. At what point are they allowed to become eligible again? So let's say a child, for whatever reason, doesn't turn in an assignment and it makes them have an F. The next week, are they allowed to do that makeup work and become, because I think it says in here grading period. So, I mean, are they done for the rest of that grading period, or do they?
Based off the previous 9 weeks' grades. So, right now, anybody who's ineligible for until the end of October is based off of last 9 weeks of last school year.
Okay, I'm going to correct everybody on something, though. The current eligibility doesn't say anything about that. It says you have to have 2.0.
Correct.
That's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you can have an F as long as you're over 2.0 on other things.
Right. Right. Right.
They don't deem them ineligible at mid-grading period.
And I'm okay with that.
Okay.
So the question is, do you have week-to-week, that type of question, what you're looking for?
Right.
The way the policy that Mr. Detweiler and I looked at, the most current policy that we've made, the way it's written now, it is an entire 9 weeks.
So you're not ineligible until the end of the grading period? The end. It's not middle of it? Okay. So 2.0 and grade card.
My assumption, Mike, would be that if you missed an assignment or something, you would do the makeup work before you became ineligible. Hopefully, that's part of being proactive. So.
Right.
That is the current policy. That's what we were under last year. So by not doing that, we weren't following our own policy. So by voting no on this, you're saying that is what we want to do, is follow that policy. Okay. You would have to direct me to get with the administration to make changes to the current policy that aren't in the one you're going to vote on tonight if you want to address those other issues. And we can do that, but I need to hear that quickly.
No, I'm okay with
that. Okay.
Number two, campus beautification update. I'm not going to try to cover everything that is going on, but I think, and talk with the administration, we had at one time 13 different contractors on site last week doing various projects around the campus, and we did a tour before the meeting started that kind of looked at some of those. Starting at the high school, had a high school office that the office had not been painted in 30 years since the building was built. I think that's pretty amazing. I'm amazed the paint looked as good as it did, to be quite honest. The carpet needed to be replaced. We replaced that. We've taken counters out, put new counters in, we're taking clutter off walls, we're doing lots of things as people come in. They're greeted by a fresh, clean-looking office. They will have new reception counters for people to come in, plenty of seating space for students to see Mr. Unger or Mr. Mason or Sherry Shove, our counselor, who's also going to be located up there in that office now. Again, that's for that partnership I want to see between counseling and the principal. So that's working out hopefully very well. Moving over to the weight room, current weight room is up on the mezzanine. It was brought to my attention, I think it was on July 16th, the day after that I was appointed, that we had a safety issue up there. I walked around with Mr. Kembler as well as Mr. Penny because we were looking at some other things. And we noted that there were cracks in the locker rooms underneath the mezzanine. That's a direct result of the weight that's being banged around up there. So we started looking for options. I went to Mr. Unger, and he did a little research on that, and he'll talk more in his presentation briefly about why we made the changes beyond that and why it made sense. Moving on, if you notice the grounds, we had never had edging done around any bushes, trees, sidewalks. on this campus. We had Allscape came in, and 2 days they did the entire campus, and they did mulching around the entire campus, and I think it really brightened everything up, which is, again, one of our efforts we're trying to do. Take no offense, Jill, but we're trying to recruit kids from surrounding schools. So
I understand.
You understand where we're at. Moving on to the stadium, this next week we're going to be painting the field house wall. We've got two bids that came in. We're going to go with one of those. Both of those were local bidders. And again, we're trying to, with all this work, trying to keep it as local as possible because we want people in the community to work for us. They're painting the back of that. It's going to be a beige color with the brown trim to try to start streamlining the entire campus. So when you look at it, you don't see the anomalies like the orange and green and yellow and various colors that we see now. The fieldhouse doors are all going to be replaced. They're all in bad shape. As Matt said earlier, that it's a shame when you have to let the visiting team into the locker room with a screwdriver because the keys don't work. Literally, that's what we had. So we're replacing all those doors. The fieldhouse project, I was thinking Mr. Mason would be here to talk about that, but we'll get to
coming
that.
Coming, I'll see you in the
park. Yeah, okay. He'll be talking about that in more detail. But again, the interior of that needs some work, and we're going to look at doing that. Moving over to the central office, as you know, we brought one of the secretaries down from the high school to be the receptionist at central office. She's going to be the receptionist, progress book, and central registration. Central registration is key because right now it's being done by the secretaries in the building, and we're trying to take as much off their backs so they can support the principals, so the principals can do their job, which is working with their teachers and evaluations. Okay. That's what she's doing. We rearranged that office so she has a space that actually greets people as they walk in the door. We split up the meeting room that was over in central office, made a meeting room within the superintendent's office, and made an HR benefits coordinator office as well as administrative assistant to the superintendent. So there's a lot going on in that space. Then you go over to the intermediate, and that's the big enchilada, our $250,000 project that is wrapping up quickly. I knew that they were getting tired when I heard somebody outside my door a little bit ago. I opened my door to the courtyard, and if you know Big John, he's a big man. Well, he was literally laying on the ground telling his guys what to do because he was just completely drenched with sweat. So I couldn't get on him because he was really, he was busting it to get done. But they hope to have everything done this week is the goal. And as I told you earlier, the custodians and Larry are chasing them down the hall, literally. As they get rooms done, they clean the room and move on to the next. So I can't say enough truly about the custodians and the maintenance crew. They have been absolutely amazing this summer. And I think anybody you talk to that knows them are impressed. And I truly am. Moving on from there, Lori's office, we just repainted it. Again, it had been a long time since it had been addressed. We've got new furniture coming for that, for both her office and the reception area. We kind of rearranged the nurse's office to make it more conducive for her to greet kids and then put them in the sick bay. And then we also rearranged the teacher workroom so the flow is much better for the teacher, so it's more convenient for them. And then you see out in front of the building, to talk about more of the landscaping. We've cut some trees down out front that were distracting, I think, from the aesthetics of the building. The mulching was done out there. You'll see starting this week, web fencing is going to come back in. And the fence that runs out in front of this building, the full length that holds in the bushes, we're going to move that and put it down so it holds in kids on the playground. And we're going to basically double to triple the size of the playground. Because as I've told the principals, I don't want our kids playing on blacktop in a parking lot when we've got over 100 acres that they can play on. I don't want to be in court justifying why a kid got run over when we've got that situation. So we're moving that fence down there to expand the playground. I've asked the principals to work with the PTOs this year to start formulating a plan for getting equipment and what do we want down there. Do we want concrete for them to play on because it is a low spot? But they're going to be working on that this year. Okay. Did I miss anything, guys? There's a lot going on. Besides that, we're doing these other things like schedules and getting teachers trained and things like that. That's all second. So that's the beautification update and HVAC. Matt is not in here yet, so we'll move right on. Furniture update, we kind of talked about that as I went through it. Again, we're working with Zimmerman Furniture to provide provide us all with all those quotes. We're not going with high-end furniture. We're not going with low-end. We're doing the middle grade. It's 30% cheaper than the high-end, but it's also much better quality than the low-end. I don't want to go that route. It just makes more sense, you know, financially. It'll last longer, basically. This is a big one, the technology program. Right now, at the end of last year, we had a one-to-one program, 7, 8, 9. Okay? If I miss any of this, you guys correct me, because I know you would. The one-to-one program was 7, 8, 9. We were servicing those kids. We had iPads provided for all the high school teachers, but not their kids. The flaw in that was we were servicing ninth grade, but 10, 11, and 12 were kind of hung out. And when you have classes that are mixed grades, you have some of the haves and some of the have-nots. That didn't make any sense. What we're looking at this year is continuing with the one-to-one program, grades 7 and 8. That stays the same. But 9 through 12, what we're looking at is a checkout program, whereas we'll have the iPads in the library. If a student has an assignment or needs to do research, they go to the library and check it out. They can take it home, do what they want with it, but it'll be checked out, just like they would a book. Okay? We're servicing grades 9 through 12 now instead of just 9th or just 9th and 10th.
Okay? My assumption would be, Tim, that if they have their own, as in the past, they are permitted to bring those and use those, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, as long as it works on our system, you know, and that's up to Mr. Penny. And
well, I'm pretty sure that we bought iPads, correct, Jeff?
Excuse me?
iPads, that's what the school will support? And
well, exactly. You can bring your own device as long as it fits the educational environment, and that's ultimately up to Dr. Unger and his staff if it fits what the needs are. But as far as from a network standpoint and gaining access, it could be any wireless device that is compliant with network policy, for instance, as long as it doesn't wreck the network or malicious.
So it could be a Chromebook for all you care.
Sure.
And that's, I know Joe's chomping a bit to jump on that, but that's one of the things we're looking at. It may not be an iPad program. It's we're going to provide an electronic tool. And Joe and Dr. Unger and the rest of the principals will evaluate which is the best tool for the needs of the kids at that grade level. So you could actually have a mix if you had at the high school. You might have X number of iPads because that fits this level, and X number of Chromebooks, or whatever the tool is that best works. We're not going to get locked into one medium.
And I understand where you're going with that, Tim. I'm a little disappointed because we got like this close to having all classes we have.
You're right, but we also have issues with training and making sure that our staff are utilizing those tools. And I'm not being critical of the high school staff. It's a matter of us saying, here's what we want you to do. And we have to be a lot more clear as administration, telling them, here's your expectations. And we haven't done that. So it's not, I don't want us to migrate the kids into having one-to-ones and the teachers aren't ready for it. And that's kind of the direction we were going. The kids were far outpacing what our teachers could do with them. And that's not a criticism, it's just a reality. And amongst other things, Dr. Unger has a lot of things on his plate this year, but one of the things is working with the staff to figure out what PD they need, so as we migrate that direction, you know, we'll be ready. I think that was one of the shortcomings of our program to begin with. And again, we're evaluating as we go. The iPad program, one-to-one program, as we migrate forward, it might end up being a one-to-one, but we have to see if that's the right fit for us. And I think it was just, we just felt, let's do one-to-one junior high and just progress it forward without evaluating along the way. And we're doing that now. Okay. The other direction, 4, 5, and 6, we're looking at doing the same thing, a checkout system through the library. So those kids will also have iPads available to them. And then K-3, we're looking at having iPads or the appropriate tool in the classroom, because they're a little set up a little different. They have the stations that they migrate through. So they want, was it 4 to 5 in each classroom?
Sorry, Jim.
Yeah. That's why they're in the Reynoldsburg purple.
Oh!
There you go.
Don't jinx
us on that.
Threw me there a little bit.
Oddly enough, I find myself agreeing with Dave on this. How many iPads devices do we have? I mean, what if every kid in high school has an assignment? Do we have enough iPads? And then why not just do the one-to-one? And I understand the concern with the teachers, but we've been trying to address this since we brought the iPad program on board 3 years ago.
And the biggest issue we had with the iPad program, as you know, because you brought it up at impact meetings, was what do we have on those and what are we doing with them? So we were getting the cart ahead of the horse, to be quite honest. And what we're doing this year, and you'll hear me say this a lot, instead of just keep doing what we're doing, we're going to evaluate our program before I invest another $60,000 in more iPads. That makes no sense. And because of what you were concerned
about. Right. And still, it seems to me, is a program being put in place to bring the teachers along into this, because that has been the biggest failing of the whole iPad program.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what the charge I've given Dr. Unger and Joe as they evaluate the high school staff, working with our new tech person. Okay, here's what we're seeing. Here's where the shortcomings are, and working with them on it. But you can't just hand them something and say, okay, next year you're going to do this. And that's where we were at. We didn't really have any clear direction for what we expected for them to do. And we will have that after we do this study.
I totally agree with where the problems lie. I mean, when I look at my son's iPad, he has absolutely nothing on it pertaining to school. I have an issue. In fact, I called Kelly, and she looked at her son's, who she thought actually had schoolwork on it, and none.
Yeah. So to be honest, it would be easy for me to sit here and say, hey, we're going to buy 100 more iPads, and you probably wouldn't have known the difference, other than you might ask me, what are you going to put on? But I'm not going to do that because it's not the right thing to do. We're not ready to do that. It makes more sense to...
Again, my concern is that we do not have a program in place to bring the teachers along.
Agreed.
Because if we don't have that program in place, then we've wasted the money we've invested already.
You absolutely are correct. And that's why we're going to do a study and research and make sure that what PD we put in place gets them to the point where we can migrate to having more in the high school for those kids. Because right now, we'd just be handing them a toy. Because if the teachers aren't using it, then they're going to use it as a toy at home. And that's too expensive to do that. So that's where we're at with that program. So, I'm going to throw back to Mr. Mason now. I ask him to address the field house.
Thank you. First of all, let me apologize for being late. We had an incident, so I had to take care of. Some of you, I've already met with you today, but anyway, if you've been to our field house, you know that it is in dire need of a facelift. Just like everything else we're doing here across the whole district, that needs a lot of help. So, yeah, right there. So what I did is I went through and took some pictures, and I'm going to kind of let you see what we're talking about here. If you want, you go on to the next one there.
Let me get your full view.
Okay. But we've met with two different contractors. We've got their bids. We've kind of narrowed it down with Mr. Detweiler and Mr. Kimbler's help on exactly what we're looking for to be done. And then, you know, the right price to get it done. What you're looking at here is the back wall of the field house. It faces the field, so when you sit in the stands, this is what you see.
Karen, can you flip off those lights?
As you can tell, the paint's peeling off. It's not even there in a lot of spots. It just looks bad. Best way of saying it. That's the flat part of the wall, which you're going to see in a second what the proposal is. What we've asked is for a company to come in, completely paint all the walls, paint the railings, paint the gutters all the way around, and on the front of the field house, paint the facer on the top, and then make all the doors, or get new doors on the whole field house as well, which is a total of 7 doors, exterior doors. So that's what it kind of looks like now. If you'll go to the next one.
One thing on touching on that I didn't tell you about, we do have quotes coming in for block lettering for the exterior of the buildings. So you'll have MP Elementary, MP Intermediate, MP Fieldhouse, MP Junior High, MP High School, and block letters at the top of the building so people know where they're going when they get here. Sorry.
No, there you go. The next slide, this is a company called School Pride. Kind of mocked this up. This is what we're looking about putting on the back. So when you're sitting in the stands, this is what you'll see. Of course, imagine that wall painted, that gas line going. You know, that's all done first. But then this will be facing out on the stands on a nice, crisp, clean, painted wall. So I think that'll look nice. The size of those, you can't really tell there, but they're 20x8 are each of those signs. So it's a massive sign. So you'll be able to see it from the stands really well. Okay, if you want to go to the next one. This is the press box. When you go down Linson Road, that'll be on the back of the press box. So when you come here for anything, that also is 20 by 8 is the size of that. It's aluminum all weather, but anytime you get out on Linson Road, that's what you'll see. So I think that's, I don't know, that excited me when I saw it. It looks kind of cool. So basketball, whatever you're coming in for, just school meeting, you know, just kind of jazzes it up. You look out there right now, it's just white. Not bad, not rusted, or anything. Just something there lets you know where you're at. It's because our goal, too, is to divert most of the parking down to the high school as well. So, you know, I'm hoping everybody's passing that when they come into a game. So, go to the next one. Okay, this is the fun part. Oh, that's our showers. We don't use them for a reason. They're bad. Not going to argue that with anybody. Right now, we have 8 showers with no stalls. It's just 8 wide-open showers. Okay? The floor, the tile really isn't bad, it's just ugly. Needs kind of power washed off and refinished. The block needs painted, and the fixtures all need to be replaced. So that's all in the bid. And when the new bid comes, or when the, if we accept it here, there will be 10 individual shower stalls that they'll use. So there won't, no more of this mass shower. You know, it'll be something hopefully the students feel comfortable enough to go in and use. Like I said, there'll be 10. So we're upgrading from 8 to 10, and we'll have stalls. We're going to paint the walls completely, put in new lights. You'll get to it here in a second. But exhaust fan also in the shower to get rid of that moisture and that heat. But hopefully, you know, we use that field house for football, wrestling, indoor track, boys track, and girls track outdoor. You know, so hopefully the showers get a lot of use. And that's the point is right now we're not. It's just a wasted space because kids aren't going to go in there and use it when it looks the way it does. I don't blame. So, can you go to the next one? All right. Those are currently our lockers. We are, we're going to take all that out and put in 55 individual lockers all the way around the outside. So, in the middle.
Hold on.
Go ahead.
Where's the ones that were in the center?
Gone. They've been gone for a while.
Because there was giggling going on over here. I want to let you know that's not what it was always like. It was like that when I was in school, and it was like that when Matt was in school. Mm-hmm. But there were individual lockers built.
There were.
But the problem with that was it took that space and made it like this.
He's exactly right. And what I'll explain in a second is why we had to get the middle open, not only for the what I consider to be a safety issue, so the coach can see exactly what's going on in the whole room, because right now, when those center lockers were there, they were nice, and there were 32 of them. They were nice. But if you're on one side of the room, you have no idea what's going on the other side of the room. And, you know, and secondly, they were hard to clean. That's the way they were. They're nice, but
It was.
And I'll get to why it's so important we have that room open here in just a second. But anyway, that'll all be gone. There'll be 55 wood lockers all the way around the outside of the room. So each player, the way it's designed, they'll have a spot for their cleats in the bottom. They'll have a rack for their jerseys and shoulder pads in the middle, and then kind of a top still like this to store their school stuff while they're practicing up top. So it's a really neat idea. It actually, if you look, I mean, it looks like an NFL locker room the way it'll be laid out. So that's kind of who stole the idea off of. So that'll be a great thing. Like I said, 55 of them. Somebody asked, I think it was Bob or Mike even. It was a great question. What do you do? We got 62 kids right now. Well, freshmen go over to the visitor's locker. That's, you know, now the goal is if we keep these numbers up, you know, we find a way to design a little something different. But right now, we're all going to be in here. We can double up to get through the year even with just the 55. But that's a great problem to have when you have too many kids in space. And that's where we are right now. So, can you go to the next one? That's their cage. The cage right now is just a storage place. We have other places we can use as storage, so what we're going to do is we're going to take that cage completely out. We're going to stud and drywall and actually make it a room. And that will be the trainer's room down here. We'll store our stuff. If the picture showed it to your left is a closet, we can get most of it in there. Everything else we can get in the visitor's locker room storage closet. So we have plenty of space for storage. We think that'll be better used for space that the trainer can just have to himself, work on kids on an individual basis.
Is he going to have an ice machine?
We've requested that from Madison County Hospital. They told us they could help us with some stuff, and now we'll see if they can. We asked them for it. So then they thought it was a doable thing. So.
Nice.
Yeah. But anyway, this wall is actually going to come out to here, and go straight across. It'll be a bigger room. And then our goal is, now that we have 55 lockers and nothing blocking them in the middle, is if Mr. Penny will help me, he already said he would, hang a projector. And this wall now, since it's drywall, will be white, just like this board, and it'll be our film. We will watch film sitting in our lockers off that wall. So that's the new goal for that wall. But that'll be the training room, and it'll be a really nice training room.
You know, Dave, you made a good point about the comments or a little bit of chuckling. But my big concern, the reason why we're doing all this, is because if we're doing that, when people come here that aren't from here, they're doing a lot worse. Mm-hmm. So that's really what's driving all of this, is we want people to respect us and the kids to have pride. And right now we have things like that shower where they think, this is how we are here, and I want to get away from that.
Yeah. That's the coach's office right now. That's where the coach has to hang their stuff. As you can tell, it's not much. That's all gone. In this project, the coach's room is going to get a new floor, new paint. If you can see on, we're missing about 4 drop ceiling tiles. I mean, it needs to be done. There's an old shower in this corner, which I have no idea why it's there, but it's still there. You know, it needs to be done completely. But that's going to get a complete facelift as well in this bill, in this amount that we're bringing to you tonight, and it needs it. You know, our coaches, like I said, wrestling, track, football, they're in there a ton of time. And it is nowhere near any place you'd want to spend very much time at. So we can change that. Next. Okay, right there. That's the big thing. Right there is where we watch our film right now. Well, we're not going to do that anymore because that is the future site. I don't know if Mr. Unger already spoke about it, but if not, he's going to. That's going to be the future site of our weight room. So that's all that stuff will need to go, which we can make happen. That room's going to get a paint job all the way around, and this is not in the proposal tonight. My future plan is to have a rubber floor in there. We've already had 2 companies came, but we don't have that estimate back yet, so we're not presenting that to you tonight as part of this.
Is this free weights or is this machines?
All
and also
free
this is so all the machines that are upstairs
most
stay there.
Still Mr. Unger might, when he talks to you, and he's going to talk more in depth about this. So I just want to show you that picture because it is getting, it's in this bill to get painted. All that kind of fun stuff. So, but yeah, that all that stuff's coming out. As you see there to our left, that little part of the training table, that's our training room right now. Not really the most conducive for a trainer if he really has to check you out in a personal manner, if you know what I mean.
So what's the visitor's locker room look like?
Visitor's locker room isn't bad. It needs redone, but that's kind of phase 2. And Tim's asked for all these phases, and you'll get them all when I finish putting together for Tim, which will be here by the end of the month. You'll have all of them. Phase 2 is visitor's locker room. Kind of having the same rehab this at. To be honest, the visitor's locker room is nicer than the home. That's too small. Man, it can't be that. Most teams who come here can't. They make their freshmen sit outside. They can't fit. But it's better than the home one right now.
So that the public knows, our visitor's locker room, you've been in it, is much better than most of the ones we're treated to. I'll throw one out there. And there's a town south of us. Has a castle-looking field stadium, and the locker room for years was one block room like this, and it had one nail on the wall. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And the first person in there that got that nail was the coach, and the rest of us had to throw our stuff on that old damp floor.
Well,
we don't treat our visitors that way.
What I want is when teams leave here, though, and that, what you're saying is right. What I want when teams leave here, them to talk about how nice a facility we had. When kids leave here, you know, that's the story that gets out. Because right now they come in here, and that mass plays locker room, small, hot, not very nice. And we know that. But that's phase 2. We want to get our side for our kids, phase 1.
So there's no advantage to win when they come and have to hang out in a dungeon or anything
nothing like that.
We didn't say what color the walls.
I always visit locker rooms pink.
I was talking about, it wasn't even pink. It was just nasty. Like one light in the center of the room, and it was dark and it was hateful.
Yeah, right now our visitors have a better spot than our home team does, just because it's not used as much. Yeah.
Now, and maybe I'm getting ahead of the game here a little bit, but you said wrestling is going to stay down there?
No. I'd tell you where it's used for right now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My thought is
now retract what I was going to say.
Wrestling will go, if we're taking their space, it'll go like it used to be. Wrestling's upstairs in the best.
That's it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say what you were doing was is inconducive to having a wrestling team.
Wrestling team the weights that are staying down there will go to the free weight side. Like I said, I think he's going to talk more about this, but wrestling will have the big open area that they used to have. It kind of goes back to where everything's cyclical, I guess. It goes back to where it was before. So, right, you got the next one. Okay, if you go in there right now, that's our ceiling. The picture on your left, we had a leak in the roof. We fixed the leak, haven't fixed the roof, or the drywall. So that's going to be fixed as well. Anything these pads going to be patched, the whole ceiling's going to be painted. The lights are on new covers, not new lights, but new covers to brighten it up, new bulbs. Right now, if you can see, it's really only about that big. That's the only exhaust fan we have in that whole locker room. It's one you have in your personal bathroom at home, is what that is. It's horrible. We have got to be able to bring air in and take air out. That is not in your bill here tonight, and it'll be on the last one. We have advanced heating and cooling in here tomorrow. They're great people. I know them well. And he seems right now, basically, we'll buy the exhaust fans, he'll put them in, sort of a guy. You know, and he's a big company, but I'll get with Tim and Larry on that, make sure it's the guy we want, the size we want. But it needs done quickly. That's you got the ones you were there, it's hot in there.
It's
you
hot.
You put 62 boys in
it
there.
It smells.
Yeah. Imagine you turn the showers on, you got 10 showers going too, and it's hot.
I know.
So no matter what you do, it's still going to disgust.
Yeah, but you need air circulate.
We need air movement. And that'll also help with the moisture in the lockers,
yeah.
The mold, you know, anything. We got to suck that moisture out of there.
Yeah.
And that's how we're going to do it. Okay, next. There's the total bill we have, as you see right there. That does not include the exhaust. I don't have that bill yet, and I should add that it doesn't include the floor, but I didn't really talk about that yet. Those are the only two things. Exhaust is more important than floor, in my opinion, so I'll get to that as soon as I can. But that's the total bill. Includes lockers, everything else. Mr. Detweiler has asked for me to come up with 40% of that total, which I will do. The first amount was $2,000. You have leg boosters. Just gave, a check tonight for $2,000 towards this project. So basically, I can come up with another six. I'm sorry, which I will do. And I've started making 3 phone calls today to get this thing going. You know, I don't know how you guys want to do it, but you know, we're going to. The plan is right now start on the exterior tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But that's
the standard that I'm asking for is not just from Matt, but if it's. Athletic boosters, fan boosters, whoever it is, they know it's a 40-60 standard to even present a project of this scale. So don't come to me saying, all right, we want to do this, it's going to cost $40,000, will the board pay for that? Well, first of all, you got to show a commitment on your part, so it's a 40-60 split. Then we'll present to the board and see if they want to come up with the 60. So instead of you hearing proposals for 100%, we're not going to do that. And that's why I put that on Matt.
Yeah, and we're fine with that. I'm thrilled that we're able to get any help. I mean, because it needs done, and that's my job. I feel I can. I'll raise that money. You know,
hey,
that's my job.
Matt, I'm going to ask, and I just as a parent though, that locker room, you have to put some flooring in.
Yes.
Because it's dangerous, and someone's going to get hurt.
Oh, with cleats
so
especially.
For as a safety issue, I'd really like to see. Can you get us quotes on that?
Yeah. The guy Aaron, I've asked for, and then we also met with Jay Carr, and both of them are supposed to be getting his quotes. We haven't got those yet, so we hold up. I'll get them to you as soon. It's not like we're trying not to do them. It's just we've asked for them, we just haven't received them.
I mean, in my opinion, if we did nothing else, we'd put a floor in because it's dangerous, and that scares me. I agree with everything else, but I'm just saying the floor, I think, too, really needs to be added into what we're going to.
Especially with cleats. You walk in there, it's like an ice rink.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, we make the kids take them off outside, which during practice, okay, it's not the worst thing, but you've only got a 20-minute halftime on Friday Night Football game. You don't want 62 kids taking their cleats on and off the other night.
Right.
So
another challenge is the timing of doing this.
Yeah, I know.
We've got to make sure that it's
– Yeah.
I think we've got to – don't we have like 3 games in a row that are away?
Yeah. We're home week one, then we're not home again until week 5.
That's right.
So, you know, the main thing, like I said, I'm hoping the exterior especially is done by week 1. The interior, then we've got 3 weeks to get done, you know, but as soon as possible, you know.
Sure.
But that's kind of our thought. Anything else?
Matt talked about phases, and we are we are looking at several projects and phasing those in. For example, we went down and walked to the softball field and looked at the dugouts. And to be quite honest, if they were left as is, I'd tell Matt nobody's allowed in that dugout because we got open boards with nails sticking out. It looks like, I mean, it's just very, very dangerous. And we're not going to have
that. Yeah, we can't.
So we've got other things we're going to be looking at.
Yeah, this is, like you said, this is phase one. You know, I'm thrilled, you know, working with Tim. It's been exciting. You know, it's get it done. We want to see it new and brighten up. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's a good time. Yeah, this is just phase one I'm going to be coming to you guys with. It's just this is the one we're using right now. So.
Okay.
Do you want to talk about anything else in athletics, Matt? Anything going on?
No. Oh, yeah, two things. And this will be real quick. Please come. Week one, we have a tailgate. Right down here in front of the tennis courts. Everybody, please. We'll feed you. We'll have a good time. Come down and enjoy yourself. We're going to block that off. Nobody's going to park there. So, you know, come out and enjoy it. Remember, game time started at 7 o'clock this year, not 7:30. New times for us. So, 7 o'clock is kickoff. And secondly, if you, I know Kelly follows me. If you do Twitter, I didn't do it till this week, so I'm not judging anybody if you don't do it. But it is so cool. I cannot tell you. Joe helped me hook it up. If you go to our website, you can follow us. I've sent 4 tweets today. I mean, I hope every I'm going to
send them. I haven't liked them. I haven't retweeted them yet.
I sent them, but I hope every parent does it. I mean, we've talked about picture forms, physical forms. We like last night, we put the girls' golf score on it, the boys' golf score, the soccer score. I mean, we're putting everything every night. Coaches are going to send it to me. I'm going to put it on Twitter and send it out. And the really cool part is the first one I sent, I've never done one before. The first one I sent was a girls' soccer. Just congratulations. Girls' golf, I'm sorry. Congratulations, win. I had instantly 14 tweets back. You know, congratulations, girls. Way to go, Eagles. That sort of thing. You know, it's just a great way to communicate that I've never used until right now. And I think if once we get all our parents, I mean, we're going to announce the football games. We're going to hammer it. I'm hoping, you know, we get all kinds of followers, and that's by far, you know, we use one call now, but, you know, I know I ask for it a lot. So, I mean, hopefully this will kind of take that out of the picture.
By the way, Matt, what's school's record right now?
15-0.
16-0.
Yeah.
I know they're undefeated.
They're rocking it.
Yes.
And this is going into the third year. Mm-hmm.
They're unreal.
We have two top three spots are just phenomenal.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's fun. You know, I'm thrilled. If you look, we have more fall athletes than we've ever had. And it's a great, you know, from cheerleaders, we have JV golf we've never had, and football numbers we've never seen. It's just a really good time right now. And I think, you know, I'm hoping volleyball starts tomorrow night. I hope people come out to that. I think next Friday night's going to be a fun night. It's just going to be a fun year. We're also having tailgate week 5 versus London, which is also homecoming. So you can come to that one, too.
What time does the tailgate start?
I'll ask Kelly that one. I want to say they said 5:30 or 6.
Oh, I was going to say, I would say 6, but I can let you know.
I think it starts
5:30. I'm not positive.
If you're there at 6, you'll be safe. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
By the way, Dean, you were writing it down about the golf thing. That 4th spot is a pretty good golfer, too.
He might be.
He's still young. He's
hey, I retweeted the golf team. I'm on it. That's the best way to communicate.
Thanks,
that's good. Thanks, Matt. That's awesome.
I'm going to ask Dr. Unger to come up and speak about the weight room and also the high school schedule and Thursday assignment hall.
Okay. Yes, we can start with the weight room first. Mr. Detweiler came down to meet with me probably the second day I was here. And we had a problem, a safety issue with the mezzanine. We had to take care of that. What I did was I contacted the football program, football coach, athletic director, and our phys ed teachers to see what their input was as far as the weights, because we had to get them off the mezzanine. The solution we came to was to go ahead and move them, the free weights, back to the field house over here. That way, you know, of course, the football coach was in line with that because he could utilize that more with this program that's right there where it's accessible. We have some weight training classes within the school. There's two things available to them. We are allowed to keep the machines up there, so we're going to keep those machines up there in that mezzanine. And talking with Ms. Boyle, as far as how that fit into our fitness grant program and a new curriculum, and it fits right in with what they're doing, and she thought that would be very valuable to them to utilize that within the program. Mr. Siders had some weightlifting, competitive weightlifting he was going to do, and we're going to make arrangements so he can get over here to the field house and utilize that weight room for those classes. That way we were able to take care of the classes that we had, the academic side of it, and to service the different programs that we have too in athletics. Wrestling, as a consequence of this, will move back over to the mezzanine, and we'll be up there on top and actually have three-fourths of their records are already on the walls and everything. That should be a pretty good fit for them. I've talked with Mr. Detweiler a little bit about some things we may need in order to get mats and stuff back up there and stuff like that, since we've put a wall up. It's harder to get the mats around the corner and back into that room. It might not work very well. So there may be some more things with this coming up when we get closer to wrestling season. Any questions on the weight room?
I have a question, only because my kids wrestle. Yeah. What about how much access is going to be up in that weight room? Because I know it's always been an issue to keep mats clean so your kids don't get impetigo or all those other ringworm, whatever else goes on in the wrestling room. The concern I would have is how many students a day are going to be walking across those mats, because you don't want anybody walking across mm-hmm. those mats, because other than that, you spend all your time mopping them and keeping them clean. And you know.
We've talked about maybe the possibility of needing some new mats in there, especially during wrestling season, so we can roll them up, keep them out of the way
if
we
have
to, and limiting access to that during wrestling season when those wrestling mats are down. Now, there's some older mats that are in there.
Well, they got two new mats.
Yes.
But they're not conducive to be taken down and putting up all the time. Those ultralights. But they've got the mats that are sitting over here, which is the old mat that I used to wrestle on when I was in school here. But mm-hmm. it's still a good mat to lay down and use every day.
We'll have to see if we can get it in there. That's going to be there.
I think you've also got a facility management issue. What really drove it home for me is when Larry and I and Joe walked through that weight room, and I'd been in there maybe one time before, and I was amazed at all the old broken equipment and things just laying around, so there was no pattern to it. And I'm not criticizing any coach or any one person, but it's going to be more of a management issue, and I know Matt will work with coaches and the PE teachers to make sure that there's a cleanup period. If you're going to use a facility, you're going to clean up after yourselves, that type of thing, that I don't know that we've had in the past. So we'll
have to limit some access to it so we know who's in there. And okay. You're right about the stuff getting on the mats. It's a major concern. Mm-hmm. Make sure we take care of it. Mm-hmm. Questions on the links? Scheduling. I'll just pass this around. This is the master schedule as of today, which is probably going to be the master schedule that we go with. The only thing missing in that is some intervention stuff that we're going to do during the lunchtime. What you'll notice, there's a couple things you're going to notice when you look at the new schedule. One, we're on a 9-period day instead of an 8-period day. That was done because of the sharing of staff between the junior high and high school. And what we've been able to do is we line the periods up within 1 or 2 minutes of each other, so staff can be shared for an efficiency basis. Makes us more efficient as a district in utilizing our personnel. Also, what this does, it opens some periods for some different things that we may offer. One of them, there's some data analysis periods in there for some of our department heads, because we're going to start collecting data, analyzing data, and using that to drive several of the decisions we make as far as curriculum, staff placement, and providing intervention for students. During the lunch period, last year we had study halls. It was supposed to be utilized somewhat for interventions. This year we're going to change that up a little bit. We're going to group those students by ability levels, and we're going to provide targeted intervention for those students based upon their testing scores and so on, so we can provide specific skills that they need. The first 9 weeks is going to be writing and reading. And so for the first 9 weeks of this school year, our students should be receiving targeted intervention towards their ability level. program. So our upper level students will be working with upper level reading and writing skills. Our students at the bottom will be receiving some of those skills that they need to bring them up. Once again, we're going to try to push all students and not just particular segments of that population. Where we are on our scheduling process right now, we've got most of the students in. We're balancing classes right now. We have some classes that might have 30 and some that might have 10, so we're trying to balance those around and move those kids around so that we can get even placement of students throughout our schedule.
One thing I'm going to say, we talked earlier about the custodians and maintenance and what they've done for the school this summer and how amazing it is. The day after Matt was hired, I went to him and said, schedule's number one, safety issue at the mezzanine's number two. And they have just, Matt and Kim have just worked their ears off getting this done. We basically got to a point and then had to basically start over because the software we were utilizing to do the scheduling for us didn't pan out. So we basically had to start over. And they have really busted their hump. So are we a little later than we'd like to be in getting schedules to kids? Yeah, I mean, that's no secret. But we're in a different type of environment this summer. We've got a lot going on, a lot of changes, a lot of new faces. I just want to make sure you understand they're doing a heck of a job to get things done. So for that, I'm very appreciative, and Matt's done a good job, as well as Ken.
Thank you.
What we've done is basically put a schedule together in 3 weeks, we normally take 4 months to do. So
2 minutes in between the periods.
2 minutes passing time. And they'll be allowed a little bit of lead time to get to their classes. Okay, they're not going to count them tardy until a minute or two into the period.
I know sometimes it can be pretty hard to go from one side of the school to the other and get your books and then go back halfway back over.
There will be some that might not be able to make it in that time, but we want to keep our students moving, keep our students flowing. They hear the bells, they need to be getting to class. I believe that's what it was last year. If it wasn't 2 minutes, it was only three, so we were pretty close to what we were last year.
And to be fair, I just asked Matt to speak on this, not to do a full presentation on it. I don't want you thinking, wow, it's just a piece of paper. So
yeah, he's doing what I could go into detail. We could spend a couple hours talking about scheduling.
We're good. Right.
We're good. Everything about that.
He's kind of an animal that's you can come back if you have any more questions as you look to that. The other thing is Thursday assignment halls. What we'd like to move to is where teachers are tracking student assignments. If they've got missing assignments, the process we'd like to implement is that they will collect those missing assignments. They have to have them to us by a deadline during the week. Those assignments would go to myself and the guidance counselors. We would call the students down and give them a list of their missing assignments for every class that they have. Typically that would be done on a Friday. They would be given that. They would be given till the next Tuesday to have all their assignments in. If their assignments are not in, then they'll be issued assignment hall, which is an after-school time that they'd be required to go to complete their assignments. If they get their assignments completed by the deadline, they do not have to go, which has been my experience when this is implemented. All those assignments come in at the deadline. Usually, we'll be issued this assignment hall. Typically, the day that we've kind of targeted for this is a Thursday. So they would come in, they would complete their assignments, and any student that completes this missing work under this program would be assured that they would not be docked anymore. And a number that we put on at the beginning is 30% on their assignments, so they would get at least 70% of their points if they got all their work in during that time period. What this does is this makes us proactive to get our kids to start getting their assignments in. It also gets our teachers, myself, and our guidance department into tracking whether students are doing their work or not. And that is, for some students, that's a major component of what grade they receive. It may not be their ability level, it might be their ability to get their assignments in and on time
You know my son.
Is that
you know my son?
You've got to name the hall after him.
We could have picked
it up. Right.
That's all.
I think we should do
that.
But this goes along with our shift to database decision making and not only tracking student performance as far as different assessments, some of the informative assessments, but also tracking their data as far as their habits of getting their work turned in. And if we can improve that, we should be able to improve how well a student does in class and on testing.
This is some of that proactive approach that we're talking about, keeping kids eligible instead of waiting until they're ineligible. And this helps you immensely knowing where they're at. I mean, we know if they're doing their homework, if they're not, it's a red flag right away.
Oh, Ben does his work. He just does not turn it in.
Yes. Hopefully, we do this on a weekly basis. He's still got it somewhere. if it's 4 weeks later or 5 weeks later, it tends to get lost.
One of the tools as a parent that we used to use a lot with my oldest, because he was always struggling with that too, was progress book. But the problem we always ran into was progress book was not updated timely. So I'd grill him on a Thursday night, you know, why the heck are you missing this, and it shows you got a 35% in your class. And he says, well, because I turned them all in, she doesn't put the grades in yet. Yeah. I mean, you got a nice tool out there, but I still think the other side also, somebody needs to be held accountable to make sure those grades are in, because as a parent, you're bashing your
they're
kid.
They're already grounded.
And they're already grounded. Or then you find out that once the grades do get put in, or you make the phone call, then, you know, so.
And hopefully this will make that better, too.
Yeah, we've actually talked about this exact issue in MPAC, because one thing I'd like to see is teachers putting the assignments out there where I can see them as a parent. Mm-hmm. That way, because if you count on Ben to bring anything home and show me anything, it's
my
never
kids
going
don't
to
even
happen.
Bring a book bag home.
What you're talking about is expectations.
Yeah.
That starts with me putting expectation on the principals, making sure their staff are doing it, then they're going to place that on their staff, and then follow up on that. You know, there's accountability at each level. And ultimately, if it's not being done, it starts with me.
Well, there has to be accountability on the student, too.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It just trickles right on down.
Right. But one of the tools that you have to keep your student accountable as a parent is progress book.
Right, exactly.
And that's...
Yes, we use that too.
You use it as much as you can until, you know... And sometimes as a parent, you know there are certain teachers that if your kid has that teacher, that progress book is not going to be updated.
Well, one of the other things I ran into is emailing a teacher and then expecting a response in, you know, any reasonable amount of time.
Another thing, as far as those responses, as far as discipline in the classroom, our classroom teachers in the high school will have the authority to issue after-school detentions this year. You provided that position, and we're going to utilize it. But one of the things that they must do is make contact with the parent personally from the teacher about the detention. And we're going to start documenting those as they flow in. And hopefully what we get is either an email or a phone call on every discipline item that's there. And it would be nice if we could do some of the same things on these assignments through progress book. Some are very good about it, some aren't.
So we were talking earlier, I think one of the secretaries and the administrator, Joanne, from Woodward, she's going to be administering the progress book, making sure that's updated.
She will manage progress book, much as Megan did this past year, actually the past year, 2 years, where she makes sure the windows are open for them to do what they need to do, and password resets, things like that. But really, I'm going to come back, what you're looking for is the accountability from the principals, making sure what should be put in is put in timely.
Yeah.
So that's the piece that's kind of, we have to make sure is in place.
We should have access to some reports.
On the principal side, because I've done something like that in the junior high the last couple of years, I can pull missing reports. If a student says to me, Mrs. Legault, I did this, I quickly found which teacher wasn't. Or there's a button we brought in teachers mid-year last year, they didn't know they had to click this button, says post to web.
We have a training issue,
and
we know,
not,
as well.
It's not as easy
so
to post.
So it does actually bring the teachers along very quickly when they know you're pulling weekly reports.
There's a couple of things they have to do for it to show up. even with the grade. They, just because they put a grade in doesn't mean it shows up for the parent to view it.
Yeah.
So a lot of times your points and your averages don't match what's actually showing up. That's because
bottom line
they haven't clicked
this. We need to get the kids to do stuff on time.
Right.
I have that same issue, and I'm fighting just like that. Problem is we need to get stuff to turn your stuff on time.
Well, one of the issues, though, that I have, and this goes back to the email, I've had Ben swear up and down he has turned in an assignment. I won't. My wife will, but she will email the teacher, just, you know, has Ben turned this in? It's not on progress book. Never get a response, so I end up taking Ben's PlayStation or whatever away from him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and find out 2 days later, yeah, he turned it in.
We'll try to emphasize in our opening meetings that parents need to be contacted by the teachers. Yeah. If a parent instigates an email contact to a teacher, they need to respond. Yeah. So, just like a phone call, we need to respond.
Questions for Dr. Unger?
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see. Two more items. One is review of the permanent improvement fund. I'm just going to go over this real rough for you, if Jill will allow.
It's fine.
Okay. Again, we started the year with $775,000 in the PI fund. Again, that's to be used for our facilities, buying buses, major purchases, things like that. The HVAC project is going to cost roughly $250,000 of that. We're buying a bus this year, that's in the cycle. The campus beautification program, all the different things we're doing, furniture, about $50,000. That brings us down to about $375,000. In February, we'll get our settlement from the county auditor, be roughly around $175,000 for that half. Be back up to $550,000. We'll be spending about $100,000 on classroom furniture, which you'll be seeing that come to you as a recommendation. And we'll talk more about it before that comes. But hopefully, what I've told the principals is one classroom in each building. Again, I didn't want you to think all we're thinking about is athletic facilities, because we have other needs, and it's classroom furniture. Since I've been here, we haven't bought sets of classroom furniture. We bought pieces here and there, but no sets. And when I say a set, it's not just student chairs. It's a teacher chair, a teacher desk, storage cabinets, things like that, bookcases for the appropriate level. So you'll see one classroom completely outfitted in each building. Okay, so that'll be the recommendation you'll see coming your way, which will put us down around $450,000 at the end of the year. So again, our PI fund is healthy, and we want to keep it that way, but we also want to address these projects that we need to get done, for safety issues as well as just to make things look better and to build pride in the school district. Okay. The other issue I wanted to have Mrs. Grigsby talk for a moment about our PD Academy. I'll give her kudos up front. So far it's been outstanding from all references that I've talked to, and I'll just let her talk about it if she would.
This past week, or these last 2 days and all of last week, we've had 7 days of professional development that we've offered to our teachers. This is the first time we've done this. This is what we are calling our Summer Academy. And it's where we invite our teachers to come in for their own professional learning. Through that time, our teachers, we offered 19 different professional learning sessions to our teachers in 7 days. Some of those were repeated, so we had about a little over 20 offerings. 20 different speakers visited our campus. About half of those were outside speakers. Half of those were speakers within our own district, our own teachers or administrators offering this professional learning to our teachers. All of those sessions were based off of the Madison Plains Improvement Plan, what we are doing currently, and just to forward their learning. 99 of our teachers participated between 2 to 4 days of those 7 days at Summer Academy. 5 of our administrators also participated throughout the week. I reached out to the ESC of Central Ohio. They're located up near the airport in Columbus. Built a partnership there where they actually provided us 3 speakers if we allowed them to sell tickets to other school districts to come on campus. that way we did not have this the cost of what would have typically been like a $1,200 speaker per day. And we invited and welcomed teachers from London City Schools, Licking Valley, and Lancaster who joined into some of our professional learning. So all in all, we've had a successful week. Today was the last day of the academy. We actually have our high school math and high school science departments have just loved it so much that they're all coming back again tomorrow to do a little bit more, even though it's not really officially part of our summer academy. but we were just really excited about that opportunity. If you don't know, our teachers within their contract are actually expected to do 2 to 3 days of professional learning on their own outside of any of their work days, their 183 scheduled work days. In the past, we have just been saying 100 of you come and we'll give you the same information at the same time. As most of you would understand, that's not really conducive to learning or meeting the needs of our teachers when we're so focused on meeting the needs of our students. So it was really an a la carte program, and they could pick and choose the sessions that were most beneficial to them, and I think chose very well. People were very thoughtful as to that. And with Mr. Penny's help, we really, things did run very smoothly as far as technology goes, and Cody, who works with Mr. Penny, was always right there doing a great job every morning making sure our speakers had everything that they needed in the midst of everything else that's going on campus. Certainly, I've been planning this for about 6 months, and some of this kind of threw a little wrench into the things here and there, other things that were happening, but we all worked through it quite a bit, and I give a lot of credit to our custodians, and then and especially to our technology department for helping to make sure those things went so smoothly.
You too. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Nice job.
And last but certainly not least, I'd like for Sam to come up and speak about transportation changes.
I apologize for my lack of business attire. I'm the golf mom, first time golf, so I've been pacing around the golf course a little bit. So I apologize. But with transportation, I wanted to let you know about some changes that we're going to be doing this year. I'm hoping to improve the safety of some of our bus stops. In the past, we've had some really large bus stops, mainly in Mount Sterling, but we also have some other stops throughout the district that are fairly large. And when you go to a bus stop and you pick up a bunch of kids at the same time, by law, they're supposed to have what's called a point of safety. And that's a place that they stand and wait for the bus driver to let them know it's okay to come and board the bus and watch for traffic, cross the road, whatever the scenario is at their stop. And so when you have a really large group of kids, of course, that makes it harder for the bus driver to make sure that all the kids are on the bus safely, nobody's left, you know, that they drop something, that they're, you know, somewhere around the bus or someplace unsafe, or as they're dropping them off, the reverse of that, making sure that they're safely away from the bus so the bus can pull away. So some of the changes that I'm going to make that may be something that you hear about in the community, the biggest changes in Mount Sterling, previously we had 2 bus routes that had only 3 stops in Mount Sterling. And with that comes a lot of challenges, like I said, with keeping track of all those kids and making sure that the right kids are at the right stop, because when you have 30 kids getting off of your bus at the same stop, somebody could slip by that's supposed to be at a different stop because you're trying to watch the traffic outside, make sure the kids that are still seated on the bus are behaving, and watching the kids that are getting off. So there's a lot of different things that requires the bus driver's attention. So one of the largest stops in Mount Sterling that was one of my main concerns is around the Nazarene Church. It's around Temple and Market Street, if anybody's familiar with the Nazarene Church there in Mount Sterling. And I looked at it today just to give you an idea. If we kept the stop the way that it was, there would be 53 students at one bus stop. Now, granted, we had 2 buses going there, but that's still 53 students plus parents plus little siblings that aren't in school yet. That's a lot of bodies around the buses. And I give kudos to those bus drivers. They did the best job that they could with that scenario, but I'm just so concerned about that safety that I think that we need to make more stops where they're closer to home. Some of the kids, although it's a smaller area and used to in Mount Sterling, people walked to the elementary school So they had to walk into town and everybody had to come to one spot. But we don't have that any longer. So what I would like to do is make more stops, make them smaller, more manageable, where the bus drivers can pay attention to who's there and who's not, and who may be around the bus when the bus is going to pull away. So what I've done this year is I've changed it so that we don't have the two buses going there. I've made smaller stops that maybe encompass a couple blocks at a time rather than the whole neighborhood or several distant areas. So those are things that I just wanted to bring to your attention if we have questions. Another thing that may come to your attention is within those two stops, because we had two buses traveling together, we gave them that option of having two different buses, which they were segregated. We had a K-6 bus and then a 7-12 bus, so the younger kids weren't riding with the older kids. That's the only place in the whole district that we were doing that, and we were able to do it because there's so many kids in one area, we were able to do that. But because of the numbers, I believe that that's becoming a safety issue. So with our making smaller stops, the kids will not be segregated any longer. They will be together. But a rule of thumb on the buses is that the smaller kids, as much as possible, it's not going to happen every time, but as much as possible, the smaller kids are in the front and the older kids are in the back. There are going to be different scenarios because the front seat, if you know, is the behavior seat. You know, if you get in trouble, come and sit in the front seat. So you may have a big kid coming and sitting up front. There's going to be different circumstances where it's not going to be cut and dry, but that's our goal, is to keep them separated that way. So those are just some of the things that I wanted to bring to your attention. And it says Mount Sterling, but there are some other areas. Our open enrollment stop in London is really big. I'm going to be working to maybe break that down a little bit. The challenge is finding a good spot for group stops, because if you get near a residence, the resident will complain, you know, they're messing up my yard, they're leaving trash. To find a neutral spot to have a group stop is very, very difficult. So I'm going to be, you know, trying to find some more stops to make some of the other areas a little bit better. South Solon, we're working to make sure those stops are. We have group stops in Midway, and then London, Mount Sterling. So several areas, but I'm going to continue to work to try to improve all of them. But Mount Sterling is one of our biggest focuses right now.
So. How are you communicating that to those riders and parents?
Every year we send out postcards that will tell them where their stop is and the approximate time. So this year, instead of postcards, we're going to send letters.
Okay.
They're actually going to get an envelope with some changes. Another one of the changes, and I don't know, Mr. Detweiler, if you want me to talk on anything else, or you want me to keep it just to that for tonight, or
whatever you think.
I don't want to put you on the spot. I mean, I just want to make sure that you're informed. One of the changes is the bus passes, which we had said back in 2012 that we were not going to accept them any longer, but it's not really been kept consistent. So that's one of the letters that's going to go within their busing information, is just to let them know that bus passes are only for emergencies, that they can't be used as a convenience tool if the parents, you know, just need to get them somewhere.
I don't know what a bus pass is.
Oh, a bus pass is, say, they usually go to dad's, but now they need to go to grandma's, so then they're going to get on a different bus and go to a different stop. And for some parents, that's just a very rare occasion. But for others, it's a constant change, and that we never know where the kids are going to go.
Oh, sure.
It gets very confusing for the bus drivers, and the kids are at a panic sometimes because they don't even know where they're supposed to go that day because their schedule changes so often. So that's one of the things that we want to cut down on, so we don't have that panic and the confusion. In the afternoons is the biggest issue.
So did you help put this in there? For the bus passes?
Did I help?
What it states in the handbook?
I don't remember what it stated, but I know that at one time we looked at it.
That's why I was going to bring that up. The number one says all students will be picked up and dropped off at the same locations Monday through Friday. If your schedule changes, plan to pick your child up at the normal drop-off location. Number three says schedules must be consistent each week, i.e. 2 days home and 3 days at daycare.
Yes.
Right there, you're changing things. So what you're saying is you're going to accommodate somebody to go 2 days home and 3 days to daycare. If that daycare is somewhere else, that means you're not getting on another bus?
Oh, no, wait a minute. Now, throughout the week, they're allowed to do different things. If Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, they need to go one place, and Tuesday and Thursday, they need to go another. that's fine. But next week, they got to do that same thing. Every week, they've got to do the same thing. I'm okay with them doing different things on different days, but when you come to saying, for instance, shared parenting is a big deal. So mom has them 1 week, dad has them another week, but then they decide, well, then they've got vacation, so now it's not going to be that way. And it becomes very confusing for the offices to keep track of and for the drivers. It's just a lot to try to keep track of, the ever-changing schedules.
Well, hang on a minute, Bob. I know all about this because my wife's one of the hands to handle part of this. What I'm getting at is, the way this thing reads, this is what we're going to send out to the parents. Number one says, all students will be picked up and dropped off at the same locations Monday through Friday. Period.
Now, I don't see the confusion there. To me, it's pretty clear.
Locations.
The same location doesn't mean the exact same spot. It could be a different spot each day, but it would still be that same location. The bus passes refer specifically to a day a parent can call into the office and say, hey, I need my kid to go to grandma's house tonight. And that was the example I was going to use. My son's bus was held up for half an hour just this past year because of confusion over what bus the child was supposed to be on.
It causes a lot of extra work, and it's hard for the bus drivers to keep track of it. And like I said, sometimes the kids don't even know. So, you know, you can't really rely on them to tell you because they're confused as well. So just trying to keep things more consistent so that we make less errors. It's less likely that we'll make errors when we have consistent schedules. And truly our responsibility as a school district is to get them to and from school from their home residence. We're under no requirement to even allow the flip schedule that I'm talking about if they need to do different things on different days. We're not required to do that, but it's something that, I mean, we know that parents' schedules are crazy. So we're willing to meet them halfway, but we're just not able to accommodate a different schedule every day and flip schedules on the weeks.
And you're gonna put that in the letter too?
Yeah, that is going to be a letter in itself.
I was going to say, so those are separate communications. That's a lot.
And truly, it's going to say a little bit of what you read from the handbook there. It's going to kind of explain some examples a little bit more of it, too. So I wasn't supposed to talk about that tonight.
This handbook's handed out. We got one chance to get this before they sign it off. Then they come back and they'll learn on you because of the way that's written.
It's good. Is that already something that's already put together that we can't change, or are you suggesting that that's something we need to change?
Since must be consistent.
Just saying, brought up, we got it can be changed. We haven't voted on it yet.
I mean, I'm willing to work to change the wording if that's necessary.
But the wording is correct, because what you're saying is we want a set schedule per week.
Right.
If it's a different place every day, as long as it's the same schedule week after week, we're okay. It's that you set your schedule in place, now you want to change it tomorrow and the day after. No, we're not going to do that any longer. It's a set schedule is all we're asking. Set weekly schedule.
So.
I think in number one, where it says, you know, they'll be dropped off at the same locations, where they can be dropped off at various different places, but we're saying we want that schedule to be consistent week in and week out.
Right, so bus 24 knows that every Monday she's going to have Sally and she's going to be taking her home every Monday. That's not going to change. So right now, they might have, okay, well, this Monday I'm going to have her, but the next Monday she goes to dad's, and then the following Monday she goes to mom's. And when you have 60 kids on your bus, to remember, literally some of the shared parenting schedules, they would give the bus drivers a calendar so that they would know when, and it's just too much when you have that many. So. Are there any questions, anything else?
I just asked Tim to open it up so everybody can look at it really quickly if there's some questions. So the only page 37, right up there, number 10. That's the only part that I'm just not sure if that's the board depart the bus only designated areas at the school whenever it's necessary to change pickup and departure areas. The student transportation form must be updated. That's just your departure area, so that does that. That's for the bus rules, right?
For designated.
So then, when it talks to bus passes, if you go down further to the next page, that's where the bus pass rule is.
I think we may have to change number two.
I don't know, number three kind of covers all of it.
Yeah, I don't see a problem.
Schedules must be consistent each week.
Yeah.
Something that we have accommodated has been the shared parenting. That's something this year that we would like to change because it's becoming too much for us to keep track of. So I don't know if number two maybe needs to be worked on or not.
How are you going to work on it? It says we will follow the court order. That's what we have to do.
Yeah, it's probably the one.
I don't know about that. Like I said, because required by law for a district is to transport them to and from their home residence. So I don't know that.
Well, it's right now we're saying we'll follow the court order as directed by the judge to the parents. It's not directed at us. Our responsibility still is what Sam has laid out there.
Within the district.
If we're writing here that we're willing to accommodate whatever the court order says, that can be a challenge because it could say drop them off at Washington Courthouse.
Right.
So that's something we might take a look at to clean up. But for tonight, I think we're okay on the issue that we were talking about.
I think so.
I think so, too.
Mainly just to keep you informed. So when questions come, because they will, I mean, transportation is a big deal in the districts. And I know that that's something that parents they have a lot of concerns about. So please feel free if you have questions, if you get questions, give me a call. I would love for you guys to stop out. I know I've said this before, and look at the routing software. You can kind of see the map and where the kids are, and I think a visual of our routes would be really good for you to be able to see.
I just really want to make sure we over-communicate that, because that's going to help, right, with the change. People don't like change very often, so.
Mm-hmm. So the mailing, I'm hoping to get out on Thursday, so they'll get it. We're still tidying up bus routes and stuff like that, so. Okay?
Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you.
And I think that's enough.
You sure? Or you can move on?
I
you sure?
I think I'm done.
You want to move back up to G?
Let's do that.
Okay. We'll move on to G, unfinished business.
Madam President, I move upon the recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the second and final reading of board policy IGDK, interscholastic extracurricular eligibility.
Second. Discussion?
Again, if you want it to be the current policy, vote no on this.
Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
No.
Mr. Datz?
No.
Mr. Butts?
No.
Mr. Hunter?
No.
Mr. Morlock?
No.
Motion not passed.
Okay, we'll move on to new business.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board approve the revisions to the 2014-2015 student parent handbook. You have a typo in there. The typo in your motion.
Move for the revisions.
It was a second.
Discussion. Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley.
Yes.
Mr. Datz.
Yes.
Mr. Butts.
Yes.
Mr. Hunter.
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation of the superintendent that the board approve the correction to resolution number 14-171 as follows. Change from the board approve the creation of an administrative secretary number 2 position for the 2014-2015 school year to the board approve the creation of an administrative secretary 1 position for the 2014-2015 school year.
Sorry. Discussion?
I have to take ownership of that. I'm not going to throw Vicki under the bus. She had it incorrect. I went back to my final proof at the last meeting and said, oh, that's wrong, and changed it. And she quickly pointed out the next day that
she was right.
The incorrect change. Yeah. Yes. She likes to do that. So, I'm going to do that.
Any more discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Leandra Yates, teacher, effective July 30th, 2014. Mrs. Yates served the Massaplain School District for 3 years.
Second.
Discussion? Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board accept with regret the resignation of Katie Swartz, teacher, effective August 4th, 2014. Mrs. Swartz has served in Madison Plains School District for 5 years.
Second.
Discussion? Can we call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move upon recommendation. I move that the board accept the resignation of Cadet Weiler as treasurer effective August 12th, 2014.
I'll second that. Oh, you got it. Go ahead.
I got it. Discussion. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ Ernie Hines on a 179-day contract as a bus driver, step 10, effective September 1st, 2014.
Second. Discussion?
If you recall, Ernie's our retire rehire.
Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board employ the following on a one-year contract to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year, as listed. Do you want me to read all those?
You said as listed, right?
Yeah. Okay. When will... Oh, I'm sorry, didn't have a second.
I'll second.
Discussion?
When will their BCI or FBI background checks be in?
We usually get those in very quickly. We don't let them, obviously, start to work with kids till we get them. So, they probably came in by today, to be quite honest, but it's just a matter of getting them put on here, making sure you see what you're approving. I'll let you get back. This method, we don't normally do a consent like this. You guys know that. We like to read everything out aloud, so there's nothing that people would construe as trying to do anything shady or not in line with the law. But this is an acceptable way of presenting your new hires, and we have so many. That's why we did it this way tonight. Plus, we provided the resumes and the summaries. I know some of the summaries came a little bit late. We wanted to make sure you had those so you could take a look at them. We'll have a standardized format, form that the principals will use when they submit the recommendations for that executive summary. It's just we're kind of trying to get the information as quickly to you in a small period of time.
I appreciate that. Discussion? Can you call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move upon a recommendation of the superintendent that the board amend the contract for Amanda Cordell to increase her hours from 2.5 hours for 3 days a week to 7.5 hours, 5 days a week, to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Again, Mr. Unger, if you have any questions about what she'll be doing, but she'll be monitoring cafeteria and what else was in that?
Cafeteria, possibly study hall, if we need that. Also should be assisting in the special resource room from time to time. Fill in the spots, gaps. Yeah. We actually eliminated one aid period during the lunchtime too, so kind of overlap our
duties. Okay, can we call roll, please?
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Datz?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Abstain.
And Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that upon recommendation of superintendent, the board award the following academic supplemental contracts to be paid in accordance with the adopted negotiated contract for the 2014-2015 school year. For Gary Hoffman, Felicia Groom, and Ryan Curtis for VOAG Career Tech Advisors.
Second. Discussion?
I think to point out there, if you remember, we're down to two ag teachers, but we're showing three tech advisors. Reason being is FFA is still a very large program, and Felicia is very well versed in that program and can help those gentlemen. We do have some offsetting funds. The fifth quarter grant will be used to offset some of that salary, so it does help. So Matt and I kind of talked about that. We didn't want to shortchange the ag program. The numbers dictated we didn't have that third teacher, but numbers in FFA dictated we still needed that other advisor. So that's why we're doing that.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Madam President, I move that I move that the board approve the employment of Dan Kaffenbarger as interim superintendent for the period August 1st, 2014 through August 11th, 2014. There is no cost to the district.
Second. Go ahead.
Who's your second?
Bob.
Discussion?
Again, the reason why you don't see a formal contract, in talking with Dan, he said, I'm not doing anything other than put my name on your school for a week. I said, correct. And he said, that's pro bono. Don't worry about it. So all we're doing here is you're hiring for that week that's already passed. Any documentation we needed to send in, Dan would sign for it, but we didn't have any. So that's why you don't see a formalized contract.
Okay. Call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Morlock?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay, we'll move on to new agenda items. So I don't think we have any, which will take us to, I make a motion to enter into executive session at 8:38 p.m. for the purpose of one of the more following under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual. And Section 5, matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or rules or state statutes.
I'll second that.
Discussion? We'll call roll, please.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Dax?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Hunter?
Yes.
Mr. Moore?
Yes.
Motion passed.
We will be adjourning the meeting and taking no further action at 8.
Next meeting date, August 19th.
Next regular meeting will be...
That's correct. Special meeting. Bob, you are correct.
September 16th, I think.
You did hear that. Did you get the announcement about the special meeting tomorrow night?
Tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
Yes, thank you.